Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here, along with Chad Marquitz. We're your hosts for this weekend edition, also your hosts throughout the week. On our website and podcast, it was, boy, oh boy, a busy week. I think we all expected some volatility this week because of all the central bank meetings, including the Fed. And hey, we did get some volatility on the back of the Fed statement and press conference, but the real shock to the system, or the markets at least, seemed to come on Friday, as we had that jobs data out of the U.S. that came in very strong. We also had a January ISM number that came in stronger than expected. We'll dive into some of this economic data as well as the central bank meetings in this first segment, as we are sticking more macro, recapping some of the key drivers from this week with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show, also editor of the Pre-Market Prep website. In the following segments, we're going to dive a little bit more into some short-term trading strategies as well as the energy sector. But Joel, we usually chat on Tuesdays, and I am sure glad that we waited until Friday, because this jobs data that came out with about 517,000 jobs added blew away the estimate of under 200,000 jobs that were going to be added. Look, we can dive into this data point, but the market reaction is telling us that the market in many sectors got a little ahead of itself, thinking that maybe Fed rate hikes were over and it was smooth sailing ahead. Joel, what's your takeaway from, let's just start with the Friday volatility?
Hey, good afternoon. Fun to be here on a Friday instead of Tuesday. Oh, are we in the bad news is bad news camp, or the good news is bad news? Or what kind of camp are we in now with the market? It seems that they love to silver coat everything. My initial statement out there is if, if you're a bear, man, you gotta be pulling your hair out. Not good earnings season so far. Still trading at a high valuation. A hot economy. Hot jobs number. And boom. I mean, we're down. We're down 41 handles. The day's not over. It's hard to catch turning points in the market. But for me right now, I look where the market got to in September. I look where the market got in mid-December. And now I look at it and I'm like, what is the catalyst for the next leg higher? And I'm not really sure there is one. So looking at the trading ranges, hot ISM number. On the other hand, okay, so we're not going into a recession, right? Good jobs number. Very tough. You know, it's tough for the bears right now. The bulls should be pretty happy licking their chops up here at 4,200. I thought today was an important day in the market. I think the closing prices from yesterday and also today, the end of the week. But if we're not, maybe we're not going down from here, but I certainly wouldn't be surprised if we paused. And sometimes a pause in the action, a neutral stance, can save you from getting run over.
Well, Joel, to that point, when we were talking before we started recording today, you mentioned you were kind of in more of a neutral posture, and people forget that's an option. They think they either have to be always bearish or always bullish and always be in the market, and sometimes the right action is to wait and see if we get stuck in a sideways trading range, or to wait to see if technical levels do get broken to the upside or downside. So maybe speak to that a little bit.
Okay, yeah, I'll say, Chad, how about I pay you 5% to do nothing? How are you going to sleep at night? Okay? I mean, there are alternatives in the market right now, and if you have indecision about what to do with your money, the TINA trade is dead. There are alternatives in the market. I'm in total disagreement with all the people about the Fed pivot. We had Jeremy Siegel on yesterday, and the Fed lowering rates, then they're just going to get themselves in the same pickle. Maybe we need to go up a little bit. Maybe we need to go down a little bit. But the liquidity that we had in the market at those low rates caused excesses, bubbles that we may never see again. So, you know, and I say this every time for the years I've been coming on, where are you at in your investing horizon? Do you have a kid going to college? Do you want to buy a house? You know, where are you at in the market? What have you done over the last couple of years? How did you feel when the market was at 3,500, right? And now, you know, I'm S&P centric, and now you're at 4,200. For me, I can't put in all my money under my mattress, but I can put it in the bank at 5.5%, and sit this out. So, not in the super bear camp, not in the super bull camp, definitely a neutral stance. I'm going to let the market tell me whether it's just this powerful rally that we've had. I mean, you're going to have to get some heavy lift. And we are through the majority of earnings season here, and your big guns miss. So, and you're still trading at a high valuation. So it's just, it's difficult. It's a very difficult market, more difficult for the bears right now. But if you're a bull, you got to be evaluating, you know, where you're at, where the market was, and what your, you know, your short and long-term goals are.
Since you went to earnings, then let's go there. Let's dive into some of those tech earnings, and even more importantly, some of the market rebounds. I first just want to start with Meta. So Facebook here, Facebook was down almost 80% from its high in September of 2021, and then it found a bottom about 4 months ago, and it has more than doubled. Now, still a long way off of its high, but it just shows the volatility we can see in these stocks, and I think some of the euphoria that traders had thinking central banks are done, it's smooth sailing ahead. What's your takeaway from Meta's rebound and some of the other tech earnings, as you said, that missed?
Yeah, the Meta chart, you guys know how I like to focus on like simple things. And right now I see a potential double top at the 197. If you want to get through that, get into the $200 area, go right ahead. But we are now 10 bucks off that level. If you'd rather sell on weakness, you are still holding above yesterday's low at 188.18. Big old gap in there. So anywhere, you know, between 180 and that high up at 197, you can pick your poison. But I think what people have to understand here is that something like Meta, it was a mixed report. It wasn't a great report. They're making, they're just happy about the revenues because they're cutting costs. So if you have targets in here in these areas, I encourage you to take it. But the technical setup is a better hold 180. And if you're looking for more upside, you need to take out 197.
Joel, I feel like we do need to talk central banks, especially the Fed, because the Fed kind of overshadowed by the volatility at the end of the week. But look, the Fed hiked by 25 basis points. That was expected. And it seemed like everybody, traders, were all just thinking, okay, maybe one more and they're done. And that's a reason to get back into these markets. Maybe this jobs data, and I know it's just one data point, changes that whole narrative. It definitely changed the direction of these markets. What's your takeaway from the Fed and, well, its still impact on the markets?
I think maybe his, using the disinflation word, and I think people, take the wrong meaning from that. That just means that inflation's slowing down. It doesn't mean that it's going away. I think the 2% target is something that we may never hit again. I think it's an unreasonable target. And I think if people are looking for a Fed pivot, the Fed pivot's going to come to say that we're going to accept 3 to 4% inflation. That's going to be the pivot. Totally overdid it. I just am wondering, remember his transitory statement that the world, that turned around and bit him in the, I think this disinflation statement could end up doing the same thing on the other end, the other side of the market.
Boy, oh boy. Hey, Joel, we had a good little 4 month run there where it seemed like most sectors, most markets were going higher as the dollar and rates were correcting. In February, at least for the first couple trading days, it is turning everything on its head. Joel, thank you, as always, for your time. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Tahi Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. shopsupertea.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, we are now chatting with Dana Lyons. fund manager based out of Chicago. You can also keep up to date with Dana on the website Lionshare Pro, which we will post a link to within this weekend show posting. Dana, we'll jump around to a number of different sectors and markets, as we always do with you, to get an update on if any of your models have changed and your overall strategy. Just a quick recap of January. It was a good month pretty much across the board. Most markets, most sectors went higher. The NASDAQ had its best January since 2001. Kind of crazy to think about with how much the NASDAQ had sold off and the rotation of money out of growth and tech. Dana, let's start with the NASDAQ. Broadly, your thoughts on that rebound that we've seen in NASDAQ, which really got going, picked up some more steam in January.
Yeah, obviously it was a good move, but it's something like growth and tech and NASDAQ, that I would call that more of a mean reversion move, something that was beaten down a lot. I wouldn't necessarily call it, you know, maybe it's the start of a new trend. Maybe it's a trend change. I think it's too early to say that. I think a lot of it had to do with more or less short covering and money moving back in after the start of the year. So it's too early for me to say that, you know, that's some sort of a trend change. You know, us, we're big proponents of relative strength, and I'm not talking about like very short-term relative strength. I mean longer-term relative strength, stuff that's been outperforming over the last 6 to 12 months, especially on a risk-adjusted basis, and that has proven to provide more evidence, more reliability or consistency of future outperformance. So what is more impressive to me is the fact that value continues to perform extremely well. So we've been overweight value, extremely overweight value of late, as we've talked about the last few times we've been on, just because it's been demonstrating that longer-term relative strength. And what you want to see when something like NASDAQ and growth bounces back in what is maybe just a mean reversion short covering bounce, how does value perform? How does that longer-term relative strength perform in that scenario? Is it just a rotation out and into growth? And what we've seen is just the obvious. We've seen value pretty much keep pace with growth this month, despite the fact that it was way ahead to begin with. And now we're seeing, whether it's mid-cap, small-cap, or large-cap value, pure value I'm talking about, they're all challenging all-time highs or hitting new all-time highs. So that's the type of sector, that's the type of performance that we're looking for in terms of deciding where we're going to allocate, you know, the long portion of our portfolio. We'd rather concentrate in that, you know, longer-term relative strength that continues to perform well. It doesn't mean you can't trade. Doesn't mean we haven't traded some of the growthier stuff, some of the NASDAQ stuff. But it's, I would say, that type of the type of move that we've seen recently, the NASDAQ we're seeing right now, is I would call it less than reliable as a predictor of forward returns, or at least any sort of a comfort level of buying into that move right now, rather than, you know, sitting with the value space, which has a lot of margin of error. You know, it's above all key technical levels. The money flow has been much better there. So a lot, like I said, a lot more margin of error in the value type names than the growth, notwithstanding the recent bounce in those growth names.
Yeah, Dana, it is an interesting environment, because if the value sector had sold off while growth rallied, that would be painting a different picture. But really, we've seen a rise in really all sectors, not just growth value, but every index, whether you're looking at the S&P, the Dow, you know, the Russell 2000 for the small caps. We've seen cryptocurrencies take off. We've seen commodities take off. What do you make of the fact that almost every sector, except for currency, the dollar, is up over the last few months? I know you don't look at intermarket analysis, but do you take anything away from the fact that it seems to be risk on and risk off and everything all at once? Everything's up.
Yeah, I think that's probably an accurate description of it. And we started seeing that in our models a little while ago, as we've been talking about, and I guess last time I was on 2 weeks ago, we were buying pretty aggressively, thanks to the positive turn in our models once again. And again, a lot of the inputs in our models are breadth, various breadth statistics that we've constructed, as well as various money flow components, and they've all been indicative of a broad rally, you know, broad strength in the market right now, which is, you know, why we are heavily long right now, and will continue to be so as long as these readings hold up. So, as you know, we don't think it's going to be a durable, sustainable rally eventually. We think that growth bubble that popped has begun somewhat of a longer-term bear market, especially in that area of the market. However, there's ups and downs along the way, and right now the data that we look at is certainly supportive of continued strength here in the immediate term.
Dana, it's been pretty much almost five months of straight-up moves in some sectors. From a timing perspective, does that play any impact in your analysis or any of your models?
You know, after being beat down for a while, we've seen some back and forth since October, really. We started our model started improving in October, got a little bit of whiplash at the end of the year. But this intermediate term rally has been building for a while now. And I would say, just from a technical standpoint, not that it's, I would argue that the technicals are, and the charting is a little bit less reliable than it used to be. But just from that standpoint, what you mentioned, almost all sectors, most sectors across the board are, and what Chad mentioned, most capitalization indices across the board, small, mid, large caps, most of those indices are hitting new rally highs. So we're getting above some of that resistance, some of that overhead supply that has kept us down, kept many of these sectors down over the last couple months since October, getting above there now. So that certainly opens up a little bit more upside here in the near term from a technical standpoint, although, you know, we've had a nice run over the last several days, especially post-Fed, so it's not that I would be chasing these rallies higher, but there has been key technical progress made, I would argue, in overcoming those recent highs, those former rally highs, and does open up room for further potential upside here in the intermediate term, for sure.
Well, guys, we are out of time for this segment on the radio, but everybody listening on the radio, we continue to chat with Dana Lyons for a good another 5 minutes. We get into what he's looking at in terms of trading some commodities. We also talk about some of the other high-flying markets that have rebounded. To hear that full interview, all you have to do is visit our website, kereport.com, or podcast, The KE Report. Everyone stick around. We're going to be right back with a focus on the energy sector.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
USA News Update. President Biden serenaded with chants of four more years multiple times yesterday as he addressed a partisan audience of Democratic officials and activists that were gathered at a major party meeting. That trip to Philadelphia coming hours after the Labor Department's monthly jobless report showed the unemployment level dropping to its lowest level in more than half a century.
Add that all up, it means we've created 12 million jobs since I took office.
More than 16 million people in the Northeast under wind chill warnings as an Arctic blast is sweeping over the region with wind chill temperatures feeling like 35 below. Today is World Cancer Day. In the USA, deaths from cancer have dropped 33% since 1991. Still, 10 million people worldwide lost their lives to cancer in 2020. Corey Myers, USA News.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine, the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
Affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control. And priming the brain for other addictions.
Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are going to shift our focus for these last two segments over to the energy sector as we are chatting again with Dan Steffens, president of the Energy Prospectus Group. Now, Dan, we usually go and start off at more of the data that we have seen recapping, let's say, last month or the last couple months. But you recently sent us a presentation that you made, and you wanted to focus on one slide in that presentation. Now, if everybody or if anybody wants this presentation, all you have to do is email us. We will put you in touch with Dan. But it was slide 7 that you were highlighting that looks at the projected growth in energy demand in the coming decades. So this goes the whole way out to 2050. Now, obviously, these projections, boy, oh, boy, things can change in a matter of just under 30 years. But these projections were saying that oil projected to grow about 1%. Natural gas demand projected to grow about 0.9%, and renewables also projected to grow about 3.3%. So overall, still growth in every category. Renewals, yeah, leading the way, but right now you go back to current renewals are much less in terms of demand from natural gas and oil, and it's projected to grow to pretty much the same as oil, if not more. Dan, how do you take these longer term growth outlooks into an investment narrative? What do you discount? What do you put more value in?
Well, the total demand for energy, that's all forms of energy, it correlates with population growth. And what they're saying is between now and 2050, the population of the world is going to go up another 2 billion people. So we just crossed 8 billion. I couldn't believe I'm 68 years old, and when I was born, the world's population was 2.5 billion and now it's 8 billion. So just in my lifetime, the world's population has tripled. And so another 2 billion, which is going to put us over 10 billion people on planet Earth, unless the middle class is willing to accept a much lower standard of living in the future, much smaller homes, just consuming a lot less of all forms of energy, overall demand for energy. And even if everybody's 50% of the people are driving electric cars, you still got to produce that electricity from burning something. That electricity is going to come from coal plants, natural gas plants. And, you know, nobody even ever talks about nuclear. Yeah. And I know that chart I showed you, it's barely growing over that 30-40 year period. So we're stuck with oil, gas and coal is going to produce like 80% of all energy, even electricity. And the only thing that I see is really wind and solar. Yes, it's keeping a lid on natural gas demand a little bit, but it's pretty much targeting coal-fired power plants because wind and solar produce electricity. They don't produce transportation fuels other than, you know, if, you know, everybody goes to EVs, but I really don't see that happening. Everybody that I talk to on the EV side, they really shake their head at these forecasts that, you know, 50% of the people are going to be driving EVs pretty soon because we just don't have the materials. Talk to copper companies, lithium companies and stuff, and they just say there just isn't enough of these materials in the world to meet that level of demand.
Dan, how does this tie into another slide you have in your presentation that was outlining that because of the investment that the U.S. made on growing its oil and gas production, it attained energy independence and is the world's largest producer of oil and gas, but that still doesn't sound like it's enough to actually satisfy some of these shocks.
Yeah, right. We still import a lot of products and we export a lot. See, we have excess refining capacity in the United States. And so, South America depends heavily on a steady, supply of diesel, propane, gasoline, probably, down like in the Caribbean. The Caribbean countries don't have a lot of refineries or anything. So, I mean, if we take a cruise out of Galveston down here, we're constantly passing tanker ships going back and forth. So, you know, the Gulf Coast region down here exports a lot. So, you know, it's just like, you know, could we produce all the food we need in the United States? Yes, but we still import other kind of foods and we export a lot of food. So it's an interdependence that we have on energy with other countries, but we are no longer energy independent. I guess if we could be, but that would mean we'd have to burn a lot more coal for power generation and we'd have to move very quickly to running a lot more vehicles on compressed natural gas. And frankly, you know, I actually think that's one of the biggest areas that is neglected. I went to a presentation several years ago when we have an abundance of natural gas. North America has like the largest natural gas reserves in the world. And so we have very cheap, very abundant natural gas. If we would convert half of our 18-wheelers, the large trucks, to run on compressed natural gas, you could drastically lower our demand for oil-based fuels and gas burns cleaner. The problem is you don't have compressed natural gas filling stations along the highways. You would have to build out a lot of infrastructure to make that happen, which is the same thing with EVs also. We need a lot more infrastructure, charging stations and stuff if we're going to have a high percentage of EVs on the road.
Well, Dan, you know, you brought up nat gas there and how we do have an abundance of it in the United States, but it's a little different in that it's kind of a regional market, and it's really been getting the news lately because if you think about last year, nat gas got up over $9, almost pushing 10, and now it's down around 250 today in U.S. pricing. But break down the natural gas markets for us in the U.S., but then also abroad. What's the setup right now in nat gas?
Well, in the U.S., I can tell you, 6 weeks ago, I was super bullish on natural gas. I thought we were looking at $8 to $10 natural gas this winter in the U.S., and now here we're back at like $2.50. And what happened was we had Winter Storm Elliott, which was the last 2 weeks of December. Those were two of the biggest draws ever in December. And then immediately, We have a build in January, the first week of January. We had the mildest January weather in the eastern half of the United States probably ever, and it caused a build. And also, we've increased our natural gas production in the United States by about 4 or 5 BCF a day. But the big thing that's caused this little surplus that we have right now, and it really isn't, this is 100 BCF a day gas market when you include exports. So, if storage, we get to the end of March and storage is 300 or 400 BCF above, that's like, 4 or 5 days supply. It's not that big of a deal. So we are stuck with some low natural gas prices until we get to the end of winter. Winter's not done yet. We're just at the beginning of February. So we still got a long way to go in winter. We know down here in Texas, the worst winter storm we ever had was the second week of February. So when we had about a 330 BCF draw from storage. So it can correct itself. But the other thing that's going to correct it is, and I follow a lot of natural gas producers, with gas prices lower, and what they'll do is they will adjust their drilling programs. They will slow down their drilling programs. They're all committed to live within cash flow. And all the really big gas producers like Antero Resources, EQT, Range Resources, most of their acreage is already held by production. So they do not have a bunch of drilling obligations just to keep acreage. The pipeline capacity coming out of the Permian for natural gas is pretty much full, so there's not a lot of upside there. Actually, the pipelines out of the Appalachia, that's Pennsylvania, Ohio, West Virginia, those are full. You've heard the stuff about Joe Manchin wanting to get his pipeline through West Virginia approved, and they keep blocking that. So we're kind of peaked out on natural gas production growth now, but we will be stuck with some low gas prices here. At least the only thing that could bring it back, let's say we have a colder than normal March and winter goes into April, so that shortens the refill season. That could impact it. We have an active hurricane season that shuts down some production in the Gulf of Mexico. But then once you get past this year, 2023, there are a lot more LNG export facilities coming online. We're going to go from a 14 BCF a day full capacity. We're going to go to 23 or 24 BCF export capacity by 2027. So the U.S. gas market is going to be very tight. And I think by the time we get there, we're going to see natural gas prices much, much higher.
All right, Dan. Very interesting. We're having you back on next segment. So everyone listening on the radio, stick around. We're going to be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
You ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
All right, welcome back. Here to wrap up the weekend edition, we are still chatting with Dan Steffen, president of the Energy Prospectus Group. Now, Dan, we wrapped up last segment talking about your outlook, price forecasts for the natural gas sector. Let's carry that over to the companies. With lower natural gas prices, even though they can cut back on drilling, well, they're not making the same amount of money. So projecting forward through this year, do you see much upside for natural gas stocks?
Yeah. And you got to remember, they survived, you know, 12 years of gas averaging like 250. The thing about natural gas wells, they're much cheaper to operate. That most of them are flowing wells. So you just have a wellhead. You don't have pump jacks or anything. And the gas market will adjust, but they can easily survive 250. Most of the companies that I follow, the upstream gas companies, their total cash costs are about $1 an MCF. So even at 250, they have gross profit of $1.50. Now, the other thing is, and you know, even though you saw those big high prices in the futures market, none of them really got those prices. They had hedged forward or they had long-term supply contracts that locked in, you know, lower prices anyway. So very few of the companies got more than $5 for their gas anyway. And they used that. It was a great year. Some of them had record cash flows and they paid down a lot of debt. They want to get away from all the bank debt that pressure puts on them. And a lot of these companies are buying back their shares. They pay great dividends and they want to keep paying the dividends. And I think the ones that have dividends and stock buybacks, the first thing they'll cut back on is the stock buybacks. Because they would like to, you know, keep their dividends pretty high. But we have a high yield income portfolio, and in that the average dividend yield is 8%. And some of even the highest dividend paying one in there is Blackstone Minerals, and its dividend is like 11%. And they do have about 50% of their gas hedged at pretty good prices.
Another area that you focus on is growth. And you've got a small cap growth group. You've got your Sweet 16 group. There are companies that are just pure gassers or some that are just oily names, but most companies are hybrids. They've got some oil, they've got some liquids, they've got some natural gas. Which ones do you think have the best platform for growth moving forward?
Yeah, I personally like a very balanced portfolio when it comes to different products. You want not equal amounts, you're not going to get that, but right now you want to be more in oil than gas. But oil and then natural gas liquids, which is your propane, butane, and all that, those prices are higher on a MCFE basis than natural gas also. Yeah, I like the more balanced ones. And some of them, you know, they continually hedge like half of their production. So they're pretty predictable. But again, they've paid off so much debt. These companies are in great shape. And like our Sweet 16, it trades at less than 3x cash flow, even to these lower commodity prices that they still trade. And remember, I mean, they survived a long period of $40 oil. You know, 2020 oil dropped to like $12, and it took till the end of the year till it got back up to 40 or 50 and averaged about 50 through 2021. So they can handle much lower prices than this. And, even if I put $70 in these models for oil, they're all generating free cash flow. All of our Sweet 16 are free cash flow positive.
Now, what about the balance between the larger cap compared to the smaller cap companies, understanding that the smaller cap companies, some were a fraction, a tenth of the price that they were just a couple years ago. Do you still see value in some of those small caps that have run up so much, or do you like some of the bigger guys that, who knows, could get more into that M&A game?
Yeah, and I tell you, I am very bullish on the price of oil. I think by the end of this year, we're going to be at triple digits again. The oil market is seasonal, and the first quarter is the lowest period of the year for energy demand. And as long as China's economy comes back online, we will have a situation where supply growth cannot keep up with demand growth. And that will happen probably within 6 months. And I get price targets from Goldman Sachs, from Morgan Stanley, Raymond James, and they are all predicting triple-digit oil prices by the end of this year because OECD inventories have been drawn down. And like we talked earlier, our commercial oil inventory, the crude oil inventory is kind of above normal, but refined product inventories are way below normal, and that's true for the OECD countries as well. As for all of Europe, their refined product inventories are too low, and so you have to start rationing by price. I mean, that's what happens. And you've got to get these guys to produce in more oil. And that's not going to happen unless you have high prices. So I see that. But yeah, I like growth. And the biggest gains we've ever had have come from finding, you know, small caps that have a lot of running room. And I call that they have a lot of low risk, high yield drilling inventory that they can, you know, drill these wells. They pay out in 6 to 9 months, these oil wells now at today's prices, and they can build and up a, you know, strong production growth, strong proven reserves. And the thing that happens in this business, it's a commodity-based business, and if the value of your underlying assets exceeds your stock price by a lot, either the stock price has to go up or they're going to be taken over. And you're going to see a lot more M&A activity. That what we're seeing down here in the States is the public companies are buying up some of these private companies. We saw that Matador Resources announced a big acquisition is going to increase their production and their running room by like 25-30%. Pushing them up to like 130,000 barrels a day of production. And I remember when that company, you know, 5-6 years ago was under 10,000 barrels a day of production. So you see that in-play oil up there in Canada just a couple years ago was 2,500 barrels a day, and now it's like 10,000 barrels a day of production. And that was done through acquisitions and a very successful drilling program. So that's what we're really looking for. And I would say in our group, I get more questions about the small caps than I do the large. I mean, the large caps, they have so much, you know, Wall Street coverage anyway. You're not really uncovering anything. I mean, small caps have more risk just because they are commodity price takers. And, you know, if they have a dry hole or something, you know, bad happens, it's more impactful than the companies that have, you know, thousands and thousands of wells online.
Well, Dan, when you're looking at the small cap growth or the Sweet 16, you have kind of the energy prospectus group fair value estimate, and then you show people how undervalued you think each stock is. How do you come up with a rough idea of how you come up with those valuations, and why do you think there is still so much room for these things to run, even considering how much they already did run last year?
Yeah, I value all the companies on a cash flow basis. For one thing, the oil and gas accounting rules are so misleading, the SEC accounting rules, that net income, reported net income, is almost a meaningless number. So focus on operating cash flow. So if a company is generating enough operating cash flow to fund 100% of their drilling and completion activity so they can grow their production and proven reserves by themselves. They don't need to tap into the equity market. They don't need to get bank loans. They can fund it all themselves. So that's step one of a company I want to own. Step two is, do they have a strong balance sheet and look at their debt, make sure they don't have, you know, any big senior debt coming maturing in the next year or so that they're going to be unable to pay off. So do they have access to that kind of capital? And running room. I mean, running room's a really big deal. What kind of acreage do they have? Again, I'll tell you, on InPlay, he's got hundreds of drilling locations now that are very economical and oil focused. He's going to focus more on increasing his oil production this year than last year. And, you know, once a company gets to 10,000 barrels a day, you can do the math. You do $70 times 10,000 a day, and you're talking real money there. And on a monthly basis, they can fund a lot of growth. So that's what I'm after. And it's, I think growth, aggressive growth companies got confused with, you know, high risk, outspending your cash flow. And the one thing, because seismic's gotten so much better, horizontal drilling technology's gotten so much better, you hardly ever hear these companies report a dry hole. Like when I was working at Hess, you know, 30, 40 years ago, we were happy if one out of every three or four wells was good well, you know? We drilled a lot of dry holes. But now the seismic is just so good, they've defined the reservoir so well, you hardly ever get any bad wells.
All right, Dan, we'll wrap it up here. I like how essentially you're just trying to simplify it, right? Look at cash flows. Look at the financials. And that is the beauty of the sector, is that, look, these guys get to cash flow very quickly. Sometimes that cash flow can dissipate. Sometimes it can also explode higher. Well, we saw the explosion higher last year. This year, who knows? Even if we're in a flat energy environment for oil, well, natural gas needs a little bit of improvement, these companies are still doing quite well. Dan, it's always a pleasure having you on the show. Again, if you guys have any questions for Dan, want us to put you in touch with him, please email us directly. The Energy Prospectus Group is a wealth of information for the active investor in the energy space. Everybody, thanks for tuning in on this weekend show. Please be sure to go back through the week. Check out all the company updates, all the other interviews we have recorded. And you can always reach out to Shad and I if you have any questions or want us to touch base with any companies. Dan, thanks again for your time on this weekend show. Everybody else, I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.